Steve Sippel.
Hut, hut, hey!
The conversation gets even more uncomfortable, okay?
Omaha!
Steve Sippel on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
Steve Sippel, who is of technology, based off our previous conversation, and he joins us now on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline. Hey, Sippel, what's up?
I don't know what you're referring to there, but as far as what's up, just did a video for Husker Online, and I got to write a story, and that's about it.
Yeah, what was your video about?
It was about the spring game.
Oh, the spring game.
Yeah.
We were talking about, because Dannon last night on the radio.
Oh, that too. Yeah, we addressed that.
Yeah, he was talking about how it's still on the same path, and then it got into a conversation about technology in the stadium, and we had a commenter who said that he refuses to let cash lose its spending power, and they will stop going to games if they go cashless. And so we thought Sippel would never do that.
That's hardcore.
It is pretty hardcore.
Yeah, I don't know if at this point in my life now, at age 57, that I'm going to be faced with anything like that. I imagine I'll be working, any game I go to, I'll be working, and I won't go to the concession stand.
What about when you took everybody to the Grizzlies game? Yeah. Did you use your phone to purchase stuff there?
No, we used cash. It seems like I was using my card. No, I was using my card.
Okay, that's cashless.
Debit card. Yeah, we did that. Although the grandkids now are old enough to buy their own stuff. I'm going to buy everything for them. There was a time I did, and it was incredibly expensive. But now they're getting old enough where they're working, and they can buy their own stuff. But I don't care about cashless. I'm fine with that.
I am too.
I appreciate somebody taking a hard line, but I'm not taking a hard line.
Yeah, there's stuff that they need to do, and then there's, kind of the extra stuff that comes of that. I guess, what did you take from Dannon last night, who I was kind of surprised to hear that he said, had there been no change in leadership, I think we're kind of on that same path. Like, how did you decipher that?
Yeah, a lot of people, it seemed like a lot, it raised eyebrows, I guess we'd say. And now, I will say this, on the Husker Online commentary that we do on video, Sean Callahan and I had both, we've kind of been, our narrative has been, this can't go forward as planned.
Me too. That's kind of what I've been thinking.
Right. So yeah, yesterday was different. Now, after, I had a Nebraska official tell me after one of our videos, he saw it and he said, hey, be careful with that. Because there's a committee, there's a stadium committee that's been in place for almost 3 years that has done a lot of work on this. And they're not just going to fold up and say, yeah, all right, I guess we're not going to do it. They're pretty far down the line on a lot of this stuff. And I don't think they're just willing to say, these media guys don't think it should happen, so let's not do it. No. So it's...
That just seemed to be the way the wind was blowing. Like, that was kind of what I had taken out of, the Trev's, Trev leaving and the Regents before, like, that's kind of where I thought it was heading too. So you definitely weren't the only one.
You notice, though, he did say, and I don't have the story in front of me, but it's high up in the story. He did say that there's a possibility that Nebraska Athletic Department leadership would have to go back to the Board of Regents depending on how well fundraising goes.
Yes.
He's got adjustments to the plan. So he did say that. He said it pretty fast. If you're listening, it was interesting to listen to it, because if you're listening, you might not even have caught it. You had to be listening pretty closely. He said it quickly right at the start of this, right at the start of the period where he was discussing this. So now here's the thing. He's still getting his arms wrapped around it all, too. You got to keep that in mind.
Right.
He's only been the AD for 38 days. I think this is day 38. So, and he didn't have a big lead up to the job where he could prepare, and learn about this project because the hiring transpired so quickly. So there's still, you just kind of, I guess what you do is just anytime he talks publicly, you just try to gauge what he's saying about it and go from there.
Yeah, he's definitely gotten more and more, it seems like every time he talks, he's gained more and more information, which is what you would assume. And last night, you know, finally got to the point where it's like, yeah, I have something to say about this. I don't know everything, but I have something to say about it. And it turned out that it was, I think, pretty important. So what was the original timeline then? When's the South Stadium supposed to go? Is it still going to last through this season, or what's the original timeline?
Well, my understanding is the original timeline is that thing would, you'd have to start tearing that thing to the ground soon after the Iowa game, soon after Black Friday, soon after the regular season finale. But I don't know. See, that's the thing. Is that still happening? So it gets down to this notion that the new AD's got to make some pretty critical decisions here quickly. I mean, because that you know, we all know how time goes. That'll be here before you know it. I don't know if that's still, well, I mean, we shouldn't act like we do know. He said the plan.
Yeah, it's on track.
It's going. Yeah, it's on track as it was under the same as it was under the previous leadership. So we'll see.
In the past few weeks, Sipple, I think part of the reason why the wind has sort of changed on it is like I would attribute some of it to this, and I wonder how much you would as well. Like people started kind of turning against. This is just the general, you know, fans, whatever, against. The idea of the expensive and expansive stadium project, I think, in my opinion, because of its association to Trev Alberts. And I really think that was a little part of it. And then Trev left and we got all retrospective and people were like, well, everything Trev did must have been really bad. And he left and we don't care about that anymore. So that's why people kind of shut it out. What do you think about that idea? And now it's reclamation project as a plan.
Yeah. No, I think it's valid. I mean, because now that you mentioned Trev, some of the narrative or some of the, you know, the speculation, I guess, as a reason for his leaving was maybe that project isn't going that well.
Right.
And it's not even really a maybe. I don't think fundraising has gone really well.
They definitely weren't there yet. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it kind of goes back to, I can see why why Dan's comments last night did elicit the reaction it has. Like, oh, okay. On one hand, I can see that, but also I can understand why the AD, the leader of that department, might not want to come out what maybe judges a rash decision. Project's off.
Right.
Project as originally planned. Nope, we're not doing it. We're going to have to scale back. I don't know that would be a great look. You know, like, okay. So I don't know. Tough. It's a tough situation. It's a very tough situation. I don't mind characterizing it that way. They got to raise $225 million.
Mm.
I mean, that is a big number, my friend. I mean, that is a big number anywhere. And especially in a place that's not particularly populous.
Yeah. On to the spring game. Steve Sipple of Husker Online is with us. I think it was you, Sip, who asked Rule yesterday kind of about the, you know, what happens in other team spring games and how he's gone against the grain a little bit and the idea that they're just kind of playing football. And he had a really good answer. To the question, which was basically like, I don't know when it became so taboo to play football. Like, it seems like he's got a lot that he still wants to, you know, obviously we're only in spring ball. He's got a lot that he still wants to learn. And I think he's got a lot that he wants to test this team on. Like, what kind of tests do you think will be out there for them tomorrow?
Well, I mean, he did mention one key critical one, and he really gave you kind of a blueprint as to what to expect, which is a lot of pass. I mean, he referred to it as, you know, we call it the red white game, but I'm kind of calling it the red and white shootout. He said because they're going to throw it. I mean, he thinks, he said, I'm just saying, paraphrasing what Matt Rhule said, he said he knows they can run it. He wants to see the passing game and what those quarterbacks have and what the receivers, they can throw and catch it. So we're going to see a lot of passing. We're going to see two-minute offense. Not all two-minute offense, but we'll see a lot of two-minute offense when it, you know, probably at times when it's not really needed. So we know what's coming. I'm very interested in it. I can't tell you. I've been interested, as you know, this whole spring, and he did nothing to quell my enthusiasm. We're going to see number 15, you know. We're going to see Dylan Raiola and what he has. He's had a good spring. And if I'm Dylan Raiola or I'm in his camp, which I sort of am, you want to see him cap it off. You know, he had a good spring. So did Heinrich and Danny Kalen. Those guys, I think they had good spring. And now you want to see him go out there and take care of the ball and make the throws they should make. Because they've been doing a lot of that, you know, we'll say behind the curtain. And now you want to see it, you know, let's see it. Let's see it when everybody's watching.
Yeah, I was struck by something that Rule said last Saturday after the scrimmage. Actually, it was Satterfield this week. And he talked about how they kind of urged him and they challenged Dylan to, you know, to up his intensity and show the personality a little bit. I thought that was kind of a... That wasn't like a 101 QB 101 class thing. That was a little advanced. So I thought that was a little breadcrumb there in how they feel
that's
about
good.
It.
Yeah, I think that's a great read. And I mean, obviously, I think the world of Dylan and his potential. But it is something I took away from Hawaii, and I talked about that. I was really interested when Satterfield said what he did, because the one sort of, I don't like a critique I would have had of Dylan is that he does make everything look really easy. He's one of those type of guys, you know, and he's kind of like
he's laid back,
pretty laid back. He's kind of a cool customer. I don't know. I don't want to say laid back. I don't want to say that because he's very competitive. I don't mind you saying laid back. I characterize it just a little. I just make a distinction. I think he's just kind of a cool customer. I mean. Kind of like Mahomes kind of tends to make things look really easy and breezy a lot of the times. It doesn't mean he's laid back.
I get
Dylan's
you.
Thank you. Dylan's a little like that. And like if I thought in Hawaii, I just thought, okay, I just need a little more fire. I need a little more something that looks like urgency because it's going to get tougher. And it gets weird out there, right, on Saturday. It gets strange. I mean, it is intense. And you got to kind of be ready for that. So I was really happy to hear what Satterfield said. Kind of turn up the emotion a little bit, turn up the energy. I thought that was really, I just thought it was exactly what I'd kind of been hoping to hear.
Yeah, they Rule yesterday, he said, hey, man, if you're going to be the quarterback in Nebraska and there's a 66% chance that we're going to start a freshman. You know, if you're going to be the quarterback in Nebraska, you got to be able to take the heat. So I think they're going to throw those guys in the fire. You mentioned, I mean, going back to what we might see, it really everything leads to the idea that they're going to let those quarterbacks throw it around a little bit. I don't know if you'll get a great sense of, you know, who they are or what they're going to be, but they'll get a chance to kind of display the talents a bit, which I'm kind of excited for.
Yeah, you wish they didn't have to wear green jerseys, hands-off green jerseys. But, yeah, you'll get a pretty good sense of it for sure. And a good sense of the receivers, a good sense of Jamal Banks. What does Ja'Cory Barney really look like? I mean, just anybody you talk to who's watched any part of spring would say, man, Ja'Cory Barney is top six in the rotation. You know, if not a star, I don't know if he'll be a starter, but what's Banks and Naor look like? I mean, it's given that they're holding Banks out of scrimmages already.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a clear nod that he's going to be a starter, you know? So get him on, they'll get him on the field a little bit. We'll get a look at those big receivers. So, oh man, there's a lot. There's a lot, that, well, I think there'll be a lot to talk about on Monday.
Hey, what do you think about that idea? Just to go back to something you said before, that idea that they feel like they already know that they can run the ball, like, and they're that's interesting to me. I mean, we haven't really. They could run the ball last year, that's for sure. But we all know that their running offense is going to be a little bit different this year. And we've talked about the question marks in the running back room. I don't know. Maybe that comment should have stood out a little bit more than it has over the last couple of days.
Yeah, Rhule always gives you a lot to think about. That definitely. Hey, when he said it, Connor, that's exactly what I thought. Oh, do we? We know that, huh? We know.
I don't know if we know that.
Yeah, I don't know that he even meant it quite like that. I don't know how the hell else he would have meant it, but it really.
Well, maybe from the perspective of, like, they're not going to be. It's not going to be like a full. You know, they'll tackle in the run game, but you know, it's not full speed. Maybe from that perspective, like, hey, let's throw it just because we get a better look at reality that way. Maybe that.
I mean, just last week after the scrimmage, he said they were solid in the running game. It wasn't glowing praise. And there was a time this spring where he said that he wanted a little more consistency in the running game. So those comments, you know, juxtaposed against the one yesterday, to me, they didn't quite match up. But again, he covers so much ground. He does happen to be in a market where we read into everything, and it could just be we're reading too much into that comment.
It's certainly possible.
Do that.
Yeah, we do. We do indeed.
God, we do that. Holy God.
Simple, good to talk to you as always. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. There he goes. Stephen M. Simple, HuskerOnline.com. Anything you took from there, Josh? Anything good?
I agree with Charles.
Yeah, I like this. I like this too.
On the YouTube stream. Sipple, buckle your seatbelt so the warning bell stops going off.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like he's opening his door. Is he getting in and out of somewhere constantly?
That's what it sounded like. But then I remembered the few weeks back when he told us that he doesn't wear a seatbelt. And I think this might be it. Just every now and then.
Hey, I was doing a video for HuskerOnline.com. We mentioned that. Joel writes in on Twitter.
Hi, Joel.
The stadium project being in the same place as the previous leadership probably means they still want to move forward, but they're still trying to figure out how. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Like, I think when Dannon says, I'm still trying to wrap my arms around it, like, that's what he means.
Could still get banged. Could still get killed.
Like, completely killed? I feel like we're past that. Something's happening at this point. I don't think we're going back from that. But may it not look like exactly what Trev laid out a couple months ago? Might not. You know, it might not. But it sounds like that's a pretty sound plan. Like Sipple said, and like Dannon said last night, they have this committee that's been working on the deal for several years now, and they feel like, you know, those people plus Trev came up with that plan. And what's different? Like, just because you changed out Trev for Dannon, all those people were still working on the same project and they still desire it, and it's still a thing that everybody else has assessed and looked at and said, yes, we need this. We need to do this.
He didn't come in and fire everybody, so now there's a whole bunch of dead projects lying around the offices.
I'd have to go back to, like, the day when we initially started talking about this, like, a couple days after Trev left, and what's going to go on when everyone was asking what's going to happen with the stadium project? What's going to happen with the stadium project? I think my initial thought was just, like, just hang on for a couple minutes. And then it maybe evolved into, I think we're dead in the water. Because of, like we were talking about, the wind was kind of blowing that way, and people had turned on Trev. People had turned on Trev, I think, is a big part of that.
He sucks, and everything he thought of sucks.
That's exactly right. And so my response now is, get ready to learn Trev, buddy. You can't use the meme for everything, but it's close enough.
Anyway. We can try.
Doc says the final price tag is... Oh, yeah, do your thing, Josh. Say what's up, Doc.
Oh, what's up, Doc?
The final price tag is going to be $200 million more than they originally stated. I just don't see where this all this money is going to come from. Well, good thing for you, Doc. It's really not. You don't have to worry about this. I mean, there might be some subsidies that come as a part of this, but I know people are super against. This is not political. People are very against.
Don't say I
got political.
Raising
taxes and things of this, and don't say I got mad. I'm not mad. I'm trying to ask the question, do you want it? Not would you pay for it? Not where are they going to get the money? Mm-hmm. Like, let's start there. Do you want it?
1,000% yes.
Yes, yes. The answer for everybody should be yes. And then you worry about the other stuff as you go.
Got to send those tweets from your seats.
Tweet from the seat. They could do hashtag Huskers and get on the new video board.
Tweet from the back seat.
Sitting in the brand new student section if you're a little child right now.
That's right.
And the new band section.
Oh,
it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Glorious.
This is going to be awesome. All right, we'll come back. A couple more takes in the draft before we get out of here. That's right. We could also comment on a large baseball weekend series. Now, will we have baseball in the Metro this weekend? I don't know. But at some point, I think they'll probably squeeze some stuff in so we can talk about that.
Squeeze it.
Before we get out of here on 1620 The Zone.
The Connor Happer Show. Follow us on Twitter at Happer Show for all the latest news and views. We may even say something interesting once in a while.
Unlikely.
Really, guys?
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.